This morning we're continuing on the generous prayers, and it's a very interesting terminology that the translation of Prabhupada was using in talking about the material world, saying that it becomes visible and invisible by the potencies of the Lord. And just sort of struck me, usually not the kind of terminology that they use. Talk about creation and annihilation, or manifest and unmanifest, visible and invisible, is sometimes at least meant to mean that sometimes you see it, now you see it, now you don't, but it still continues to exist. Something's invisible means that it exists, but you can't see it. Whereas that's not how we refer to the material world, as something that's existing. But it's quite interesting. Of course, that is how the term vyakta, vyakta, manifest, unmanifest, refers to the spiritual world, that the spiritual world is always, it's unmanifest to us. Sometimes it becomes manifest, but it's eternally existing. And even when it's said that Vrindavan and other holy places also never get destroyed at the time of annihilation, but it means that when the material world is annihilated, which it is, described at length at the end of the Bhagavatam, among other places, that when it's annihilated, then Boma Vrindavan merges into Goloka Vrindavan, and when creation takes place again, then Goloka Vrindavan again expands in the material world. But these type of polarity explanations, when the Lord is described as the biggest and the smallest, and he's within and he's without, and he's the seer and the seen, are sort of exercises in order to eradicate or eliminate our conception of him being something ordinary. And yet at the same time we are faced with the concept of his inconceivability. It's inconceivable that somebody is inside of everything and outside of everything at the same time. So we're really forced to submit to this, the fact that we can't understand him, and also have faith and accept that he has these extraordinary, inconceivable potencies that by which contradictory things take place and are also resolved, because usually when you have contradictions, then you have to make a choice between the two of them. In other words, someone can't be both guilty and innocent in a court of law. But Krishna can. He can both steal and at the same time be completely faultless. He can be dancing with millions and billions of gopis, and yet he's still a brahmachari. So it's not a choice for Krishna, but rather these things coexist in him because he's inconceivable, achintya shakti. Particularly, not only are his potencies inconceivable, how they work, but also that he has a Achintya Shakti. He has a potency of inconceivability that enables all of these things to take place, or at least that's the way it's explained to us. Even the way things are explained to us is somewhat of a compromise, because it's trying to explain inconceivable things, again, in terms of words, in terms of concepts that either conditioned or liberated soul can grasp or understand. But in the ultimate issue, one requires faith, because the material world, what to speak of things that lie beyond the material world, and its understanding is so incomprehensible to living entities that you just have to submit and say it's all right, which is goes completely against the vein of empiricists who are determined to no end to find out the cause of everything, to give an answer to everything, rather than maybe just accept the fact that that's not such an important thing. Better they start giving an answer as to who they are and what the purpose of life is, instead of delving deeper and deeper and deeper in matter, which is something that Arjuna warned Krishna about, Krishna warned Arjuna about, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about, that the deeper you go into studying the nature of material energy, the deeper you get into Maya. And that's why Vedic culture is a culture based on that simple living and high thinking. Keep it simple. Keep as far away as possible from the material energy, because the more you get entangled in it, more difficult it is to get out. The more you become conditioned. And therefore, this whole idea of modern science is going down, 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 down. Find the irreducible energy or potency. Who says there is an irreducible energy or potency? It's a religion that we have faith that there is one. What if there isn't one? And they keep going down, but just like that Hungarian scientist, Szentgyörgyi, he said that all my life I'm going so far into finding what the source of life is by going into the studying matter that realize that life is sort of gone out beyond my grasp. In other words, you're looking for what everything comes with, you're just ending up with dead matter. So, but if you want to know, then just listen. And accept from authority. Ultimately, that's the way of knowledge, not this way of the moles digging down into the ground, like dogs digging for a bone. So, yes, Krishna. Krishna is inconceivable, and if we want to know about him, then we need to hear from him. Touch, you know, just hear from me. Or we hear from devotees, Krishna's representative. That's the way we know something. And if someone is really faithful, then this Tene Brahma Ridaya, then things become revealed from within, at least revealed enough to engage in Krishna's service. After all, that's all you really need to know. is how to serve. All these other complicated things, what makes the world go round, and so many other things. If they're necessary for service, okay, but if they're not, then why bother? Why waste time with all of those? Hare Krishna.